Blog Talk Radio.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
I was going to say I'm so bedazzled right now, but that's not the word I'm looking for. That's got a totally different meaning, but I'm scrambling around trying to get everything in order here. But real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live. Don't forget, you can check us out every other Tuesday from 7 till about 8:30. With me right now, my man himself, Michael Parks. Michael Parks, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. For the people listening, we were discussing the ins and outs of NXT as we were getting ready to come on air. So we'll talk a little bit about that before I get going. But, you know, Leah Letson was all set to come on or whatever. And just, you know, I'm scrambling around trying to get everything done. And it's a good thing because I was going to apologize to her too because I had nothing ready because, you know, I just got back from work and was trying to get everything set before we got going. But she sent me a text that she could make it. She's got something going on. Some family thing. So I'm like, hey, man, do your thing. Don't even worry about it. So, Mike, that means just you and I, man. I mean, hopefully, since we have the time, I'll be able to let you talk this time. But it remains to be seen because we have so much to talk about, man. I want to talk about AEW, you know. And I called Mike that day because, I honestly didn't plan to check out the pay-per-view or whatever. You know me, I'm like, man, I'm not paying that money to go see that crap or whatever. But my nephew, who's huge wrestling fan's like, yeah, we're going to get it, you know. Come on down, we'll barbecue. And once I said barbecue, that was it. You know what I mean? I got to go down there. But I am honestly glad that I did. There were some parts I liked. There were some parts I didn't like that Mike and I will talk about. So we'll get into that in a minute. But, Mike, please, man, please enlighten me. First of all, I used to watch NXT because the kid that they call the Bruiserweight, I forget his name, he that guy can go, man. He's good. So I'm always looking to see Pete Dunne work on there. But, you know, to get to the crap just to see him sucks. But besides that, you know, I thought for sure Monday Night Raw was going to come strong. You know what I mean? Because AEW really, really did some stuff to where you were like, wow, man, these guys are really, you know, putting the pedal to the metal. So I thought for sure they're going to ramp it up and really do it. Oh, my God. It was two things, Mike, and I want your opinion on this. Is there any sort of telethon or a GoFundMe or something that we can do to get Johnny Morrison and Akira Tozawa of WWE, please? I am begging somebody, anybody, Vince McMahon, let them go, dude. Just let them go. Dude, are you with me, dude, or am I just tripping?
No, you're right, dude. I don't know. I'm with you and probably a whole lot of other people. I don't know what's going on. But whatever it is, he's taking Triple H and them out of it. And he's doing this. And you know, it's him and Bruce Pritchard. And
yeah. Mike, are you on your AirPods or something? Because I could barely hear you, and I got a lot of clicking noises going on.
Yeah, I'm on my AirPods.
Okay, well, hold your head real still. Okay, go.
Okay. Yeah, I just
oh, now I can hear you. Great, perfect.
I don't get it. It's like, you know, I was watching Raw last night and they had that tag team, whatever you call it.
Turmoil, yeah.
And oh, geez. And I just kind of went, okay, all right. I'm gonna watch college football. Because this isn't doing it.
You kind of know what to expect because you know good and well Lucha House Party wasn't going over. I mean, as soon as I saw them, I'm like, all right, Lucha, and they got a little bit of offense and then they were out of there. But let me ask you this question. This is for some reason what I get. I think that because Johnny Morrison has put everybody over. I mean, they should rename him the Bump Taker or whatever because he just, you know. they were burying Killer Cross, Killian Cross, whatever his name is. But why Johnny Morrison? Is he the one picked, you know, to keep putting everybody over? I don't get it. To me, it seems like they're saying, like, look, man, you're here. This is what you're doing, whether you like it or not, you know, to prove a point. And then Tozawa, one of the best, I mean, dude, Dragon Gate, that dude can go. You know, when he was in 205, he was, you know, killer. And then, you know, they put him in a ninja outfit, and he's going against Master McFlip. And I just don't get it, man. Do you think that that's what it is, that they say, look, this is what we want, this is what you're doing, and that's that?
Yep. Yep.
And it's just, dude,
it's embarrassing, it's sad, and, you know, I don't know if you want to put in there that it's just he's greedy and power hungry.
Yes.
But it's horrible.
All of the above. But I got to tell you, the Raw that was on the week before, I was, for the first time in a long time, was glad that I watched it. First of all, they got that girl Doudrop that comes out with what's her name, the real pretty girl that can't wrestle, Eva Marie or whatever. So I was just watching it. I don't even know why, because I think this is nothing else on. So I was watching it while I was doing something or whatever. But then I thought, well, is she really going to wrestle her or whatever? So, well, you know, it kind of piqued my interest. But, dude, did you see the senton that she gave Eva Marie?
If I'm not mistaken, Doudrop, she came from NXT UK.
I think she did, but dude, she hit her full on with that senton. I was like, oh, shift. And I called Jessica. I said, if they show the replay, because she went up and barcatelas. And instead of, you know, catching her like she should, Eva Marie put her arm across her chest. So not only did she land on her with her nalgas, you know, on the senton, she, you know, crushed her arm because she put her arm in there. And I was like, oh, dude, that was the best thing that I've seen in years. I mean, that I couldn't get over it. I wish I could have DVR'd it or whatever. So, because she must have said, hey, look, if we're wrestling and you're going over or whatever, you're going to take a bunch here with this. And Mike, we got to be honest, you know, Doudrop's not the smallest girl in the world. So whether she held off or not, that's a lot of weight to hit her, right?
Yeah, but, you know, like I was going to say, if she's the same one that came from NXT UK, she can actually go. She can wrestle.
That was great.
You know, so, that symptom reminded me of Marta Villalobos.
Yeah, that reminded me of Marta Villalobos or Superboy when he would hit you. Because Superboy hit you with the senton, and it is all way too. And if you're not – I talked about that with Guyam. I'm pretty sure it was on this show. But there's certain wrestlers that you wrestle, and if you don't know what you're doing or whatever, you're going to feel it, and you have to know, and they'll bring it out of you. I remember I said Dr. Muerte, the original one.
When I
would wrestle him, man, he would pick me up. I didn't have to get light or anything. So you got to know what you're doing. So that's what happened with Doudrop. She's coming with the senton, and she's not holding back, and pacatelas, and squeezed her. So I thought it was great. I thought that right there made my night. But when they went on, I said, let me just ask you one more question before I get into this. Why on God's green earth do you think that they keep Nia Jax? She's horrible. She can't work. She's a bully. She's hurting people. So when they put her in there with Charlotte, I thought, what are you doing? Why do you think they keep this girl around?
Family.
Is that what it is? Is it that powerful, though?
Family.
Dude,
and she's, I mean, yeah, because I was going to ask you, what did you think about that?
Did you see in the tag thing or whatever, she hit that Rhea Ripley chick, and she was too close to the rope, and she smacked her head into the ropes? You know, luckily or unluckily, that was her face, because if she would have hit her neck, at the least, she would have gave her some really bad whiplash or whatever. I mean, she is just out of control, dude. And then to me, it looked like she started throwing in some potatoes, and Charlotte was like, F that, dude. That's not – and they started swinging, dude. They were pulling hair and swinging, and Charlotte had like a little bit of a bruise on her cheek or whatever. So I thought, man, you know, what, are you going to wait till she really permanently hurt somebody or puts your star, because you remember back in the day, Mike, you don't do that and put the star on the shelf because that's your moneymaker, and Charlotte is their moneymaker. So, I mean, the family's that strong that they got to keep her in there even though she's a liability?
Have you seen anything happen to her?
I don't get it, dude. I don't. I mean, what's it going to take to permanently hurt somebody?
Or somebody, you know, get upset like Charlotte did, and you have a mini
swing. To be honest with you, though, I thought it was good. I thought it finally she said, "Hey, man, I'm not taking that crap." And see, she started giving her a receipt, and it got pretty wild. But you know, I don't want to see Charlotte get hurt. I think she's the only one that's really got any talent in there right now. You know what I mean? If there's no reason why that woman should not hold that belt until somebody else comes along, because she's got what it takes. Why they have not brought Taya Valkyrie in there, I don't know. She's not even wrestling on NXT. I've seen her once. I don't know if I'm missing something, but I've only seen her once. So, Michael Parks, I think
she's a manager.
But it's, how stupid, why is that woman not, Mike, you've seen her with me in person. Why is that woman not in Raw wrestling against people like Charlotte?
Because if I have enough money to pay you to sit out so that I don't have to show people the competition that you bring, I won't do it.
That makes no sense.
None whatsoever. But
why even
what is
waste
she doing
your time?
Right now?
Yeah, why even waste your time? And you know, I go through a lot with this with some of the older workers like myself, and like I am an Enigma. And I go, you know, on one hand, I'm happy for them because they're making good money, you know, big money, and they could buy that house and they could live that lifestyle that they want to live. But then it's like, dude, you know, just kind of spinning your wheels. And we all get old, dude. You know, you only have a certain amount of time in this business, you know, and before you know it, it's over. So I'm happy on one end that they're getting, you know, they're just desserts and making what they need to make. And, you know, it's cool. But then on the other hand, it's like, man, is it worth it? Like, you know, making a deal with the devil to, you know, to get what you want. It just don't make any sense, man. And I guess he don't care. Vince doesn't care. Hey, this is what I'm doing, too bad. You don't like a change of channel. I think he's said that before. But anyways, I want to talk about the AEW pay-per-view. I got a lot of feedback about that, some good, some bad. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I got to take the long break for a quick second, Mike, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about that. All right, my friend?
All right, man.
And I promise I'll let you get a few words in. How about that?
Hey, that'll work for me.
All right. We'll be right back. Hang on, everybody.
Hey, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a look at all of the great shows available this week on the Lucha Central Podcast Network, where you can always find each show on its own or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show for every show in one easy feed. Monday, Lucha Libre Figures and Facts returns as the crew talks about the history of one of Lucha Libre's most influential personalities, Conan, including an in-depth look at his Toy Biz WCW Slam and Crunch action figure. Tuesday, it's Mass, Mats, and Mayhem as Lucha Underground executive producer and showrunner Eric Van Wagenen is back for part two of his interview, where he gets confronted with the number one question on the minds of series fans. Will Lucha Underground return? Tune in Tuesday for his answer and a whole lot more. Thursday, on Straight Out of the Bodega, Papo Esco and Gabriel Ramirez are joined by WWE NXT referee Tom Caster, who trained for his career in NorCal and was part of many area promotions, including PWR, before his move to the international stage. The trio talks Tom's incredible journey leading up to his tryout, signing with WWE, and the road to recovery after his gruesome injury where his leg snapped mid-match, but he kept officiating until the end. This is an interview you won't want to miss. Also, Thursday and in Español, the number one Spanish language wrestling podcast in the U.S., La Mesa de los Margaros, is all new. And AAA Exotico, Mamba, pulls up a seat at the table. On Friday, we've got one of the top Lucha Libre podcasts on the U.S. iTunes charts, Lucha Central Weekly, and the number one wrestling podcast in Mexico, Lucha Central Weekly en Español. Get all the latest news on the road to Lucha Libre restarting in Mexico, plus a check-in on the top names in Lucha Libre and U.S. promotions, including WWE and AEW. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, and please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Hey, Mike, do you follow Kevin Kleinrock on any of his social media?
No, but I'll start.
Dude, I'm gonna send you the link or whatever. They have a huge show. I believe it's Mass Republic over at the Aguas Caliente Casino, which is towards Palm Springs, you know?
Uh-huh.
Dude, it's under $20 to get in. I think you pay a certain amount, and then they give you a certain amount of gambling card or whatever, but I was trying to pull it up during the thing, but that was all messed up because I'm computer illiterate, but it's under $20, but dude, Solar is going to be there, Pirata Morgan, Psicosis, Rey León, Viva Van, El Snowflake, who we know as Human Tornado, who I know as Craig. It's going to be huge out there. And it was funny because we had something going on. What was it? Oh, yeah, September 12th. Michael Parks was going to do his show, but unfortunately it got postponed due to the COVID. So I completely forgot about it. But, dude, that's huge. That's for under $20 to go check that show out, cool. So if you I'll try to put it up on my social media if you want to check it out. It's this Saturday at the Aguas Calientes Casino, Solar, Pirata Morgan, Psicosis, Rey León, Viva Van, and of course El Snowflake from the movie Nacho Libre. So, dude, I think that's a good, I mean, it's a little bit of a drive, but that's a pretty good price, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I thought we had something going on before that, too. So, anyways, that's pretty cool. I would go check that out if I'm free. That would be pretty cool to go check that out. So you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chula. If you want to call in, we're going to start talking about the AEW pay-per-view and get some thoughts. If you want to call in and give us your thoughts on what you think was good or what you think was bad, because I got some stuff that I thought was really cool, and I got some stuff that I thought, well, that might not have been too cool. So if you want to call in, the number is 323-870-3387. I put it up on social media. On the Facebook and everything before we went on air, because if you want to call in, and honestly, I didn't know Leah Letson wasn't going to be on. I was going to put to call after 7:30, but since she wasn't able to make it, you can call whenever. So real quick, Mike, you knew that the Young Bucks against Lucha Brothers was going to deliver. I mean, that went without saying. Okay. So I'm going to start there, and then we'll take some matches between now and then. I mean, that pretty much goes without saying. Now, the way they did it and the way things kind of worked out, I thought that was pretty cool, because I thought, well, what else can they do? They've had matches that have tore the house down. So I thought it was going to be pretty hard to top, you know, whatever they've done before. And I think they did it. First of all, I thought, what's his name? Ray Phoenix was going to walk that cage and then do his dive or whatever. He's going to die. He's going to fall the wrong way, and this could be the first death that we've ever seen in wrestling. But they made it look pretty good. I was super happy that they went over. I honestly didn't think that they were, but they did. So give me your thoughts on that match. You think they for what it was, they really did outdo what we thought they were going to do?
Yeah, no, because when they get together, you know how we always talk, when you have that perfect dance partner,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can make magic. And, you know, by the way, that would have been the second wrestling death we've seen. Owen Hart was the first.
Yeah.
I have to check you on that. But anyway, I really enjoyed that cage match.
Yeah.
It was hard hitting. It was action packed, and that's what you wanted, you know.
Right.
For the first time, and I don't know how long, I'm like looking forward to watching AEW tomorrow.
Yes, on Wednesday because they got so much going on.
Yeah, and just to see, you know, now who in the tag team division are you going to pull up to go toe to toe with the Lucha Brothers?
Yeah, how are you going to top that?
Yeah, I mean, Luchasaurus and Captain Caveman, I don't think they got it. They're a good tag team. I like watching them.
Yeah.
But wrestling those two and then going over on them,
it doesn't make any sense at all. So they probably have to maybe a rematch or something, you know?
No, I think the tag teams from somewhere else, maybe AAA, maybe Impact. Who knows?
Well, you know what would have been smart? What would have been cool if they could have done it, since they're bringing so many people from New Japan, is if they would have let Kenny Omega lose that belt, you know, to Christian, and then bring in what's his name that from Japan that was teaming with them as the Golden Lovers. Kota Ibushi. And then brought him out of nowhere and put Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega against the Lucha Brothers. You know, maybe even had him turn on the Young Bucks. You know, then they could have had kind of like a three-way feud to get those belts back or something. Because, dude, we were there when Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega wrestled the Young Bucks out here for New Japan. And that was a match and a half for your ass, man, right there. You remember, Mike? Don't you think that would have been a good idea?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but you know what? Isn't he still hurt?
Who knows?
I haven't seen him throw
some dirt on it and get him out here.
You said throw some
throw some dirt on it, get him out here, because dude, that would blow the roof. That would blow the roof off that place. So, you know, it remains to be seen. I mean, we really can't call what they're going to do or whatever, because they'll surprise you, you know, with that, you know. So for us we win. Because now we're going to look forward to seeing what happens. Now, I thought that was cool. Too cool, okay, on that women's battle royal. Okay, I wasn't too interested or whatever. My nephew was laughing because I was calling this Queen of the Butt Sniff Championship, because there were so many people in there. Everybody's nose was hitting everybody's butts or whatever. So my nephew thought it was the funniest thing ever. So, and then I thought, yeah, whatever. So then when they brought what's her name, Ruby Riott, out, I thought, oh, sweet. But I kind of didn't think it was too cool that they let her go over, because you had a lot of girls in there who've been busting ass trying to get to where they were, especially Thunder Rosa. She's been putting in the work, dude, you know, death matches with Dr. Britt Baker and paying her dues for somebody to just freshly walk in, take the whole thing and get the woman's title match. You kind of think they could have went a different way with that?
Okay, I mean, I'm sitting here as we're speaking. I'm going through the women's roster of AEW.
Right.
And, you know, I want to see Ruby wrestle Jade Cargill. Because, you know, Jade Cargill, I want to see her wrestle against Akuro Shida.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's tough. Let's see who. Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose is a killer.
Nyla Rose is a dude. Has no business in there. So
I know. You're absolutely right.
But that's, you bring up a good point, Mike. They should have had her against them people and then get that title shot. But then just to walk in and go straight to it, doesn't that? I didn't think that was cool.
it's almost as bad. It's almost as bad as Becky Lynch walking in, punching Sister Soldier with the braid and taking her title from her.
Yeah.
It's just as bad.
I didn't think that was cool. So I'm glad she's there. That brings a new element to the women's tag team division. But I just think she could have, worked her way up a little bit. I mean, dude, I'm not saying you got to start from the bottom, but just work your way a little bit to walk straight into it after these girls have been killing themselves for the past, year and a half through the pandemic or whatever. They could have. I mean, I get it. Business is business. And you got to go with what's going to put butts in the seats. But, man, that's a bit much. I'm glad she's there. One more person that's free. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if she would have brought Johnny Morrison and Akira Tozawa with her, that would have made me even more happy, but you can't take anybody. So I thought that was pretty cool. So let's go with this match. You tell me what you think, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about CM Punk. I for some reason, thought it was going to be dumb to put Eddie Kingston against Rusev, who is Miro now, or whatever. But I got to tell you, man, Eddie Kingston surprised me, man. He did a lot better and made that match a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. I thought they should have let him go over because that would have blew the roof off that place.
Yeah. Man.
And then people would have just went nuts. But he didn't. But give me your thoughts on that match. You think I think he did a little bit better than I expected, to be honest.
Well, I had liked Eddie Kingston, and then when I was watching him when he used to be in NWA, he just seemed sloppy and like he couldn't wrestle, like he was hurt. But I don't know what it is, because since he's got over here to AEW, that match was off the hook.
Well,
it really was.
I thought it went really well, but I saw Eddie Kingston against Jacob Fatu at PCW. And again, when I say there's certain wrestlers that are going to bring it out of you or whatever, Eddie Kingston got my utmost respect after that match because they went at it, dude. And when Fatu couldn't find anything and emptied that whole toolbox and did a moonsault and Eddie moved and he hit all tools, I was like, man, that is ridiculous. But they went at it and he brought it out in him and Eddie Kingston didn't back down and delivered, because this is when I talk about Joseph from PCW. He's smart. He doesn't, when he does stuff, I think, man, this guy's freaking genius. Because I thought, I don't even know who Eddie Kingston is. Who is this guy? But he knew that if you put him with this guy, he's going to bring it out of him, and it's going to be a match. And it was, dude, that whole night, he put Daga against Jake Atlas before Jake Atlas went to NXT. And that's one of the few matches that I, sick as a dog, went and threw money in there because is this freaking genius or what? This guy's a perfect match. And I couldn't believe it. So that whole card went really well. He had a dog collar match with Homicide that kind of got messed up here and there. But just when I talk about putting people together who are going to bring it out to you, that was the epitome of it. So I think that was kind of the case for that. Rusev and Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston says, hey, man, I gotta get going because they're putting so much hype on this guy, and he did really well. So I think – what do you think's next for Eddie Kingston?
They don't have a hardcore division. I don't know who they're gonna put him up against.
Yeah.
They have a roster now that's unless they send them over to Impact and they start a program with him and Sammy Callahan.
Hey, team him with Black Darus and bring him over to AEW. Black Darus will show him what's up. That guy's highly underrated. Okay, hold on, real quick. Before we go to commercial, Mike, let me just give this PSA. Yeah, Tony Khan, go ahead and bring Black Darus over. He'll get you to the promised land. All right, bring him over. Guy's got skills. All right, there we go, man. He'll bring him over, and then we'll shed a whole new light on this professional wrestling thing. So let me take another quick break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about CM Punk against Darby Allin. If you guys want to call in, you could just dial 323-870-3387. If you want to join in, tell us what you think. Hey, maybe somebody has a different opinion or saw it a different way or whatever, just like the guy that started crying when CM Punk came out or whatever. There's different opinions or whatever. So feel free to call in.
That's passion. He's so passionate.
It's still real to me, man. So we'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
Leave that man alone.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Man, you got to take a chair shot every once in a while to pull yourself together. So for the people listening, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live talking to Michael Parks, talking a little bit about the AEW pay-per-view that's coming up. Hey, it's just been announced, Michael Parks, that at Lucha Libre Alliance, it's going to be myself, Hades, who was with me on the last show where I didn't have wrestling gear, and God dang it, I can't remember. Oh, you know what? It's myself, Mexi Macho, who's a Mexican cowboy, who's going to be with me now that I'm doing the real cowboy gimmick from Memphis, Tennessee, and Hades against Volkan Jr. and Sr. and the man himself, Robbie Phoenix. So I feel sorry for those guys, man, because we're going to just give them a beating. That's going to be at Lucha Libre Alliance, so make sure you check that out. I'll put it up on my social media. It's going to be Sunday, September 26th. I think is a date at the Lucha Libre Arena out there in South Central LA. So I'll give you guys some more information on that. But we'll probably have Guyam or somebody in here to talk about that before we get on. So anyways, looking forward to that. But and actually, well, I'm going to take my gear and change into gear when we do this show. So it should help out.
That would be good.
And,
so you don't have to.
Nobody has to hold my wallet.
Boots and shirt socks.
Yeah,
you don't,
exactly.
Cowboy boots and shirt socks.
And cutting off my circulation.
Sliding all over the place.
No, man, my feet were sore from the grip. But anyways, talking a little bit about the AEW pay-per-view, Mike and I, you know, thinking some stuff was good, some stuff left a little bit to be desired. If you want to give your opinion, hey, man, feel free. It's 323-870-3387. I get people that call in, and then I click on them, and they hang up. So I don't know if they're thinking that they just listen, you know, through that number or whatever. So if I click on it, you're on air. So don't hang up. Anyways, man, that was the end all to be all. Everybody was waiting for CM Punk, you know, Darby Allin. I think they tried to say, look, man, you know, new blood versus old blood or whatever. I thought CM Punk looked pretty good. He looked like he was still in pretty good shape. He went to the tights. You know, he always says he tries to change up his look every once in a while or whatever. I thought it was pretty cool. It gave him the go to sleep, and everybody went home happy. So I thought they did pretty well. Mike, what do you think?
To be 42 and out of the game for 7 years,
yeah,
I'd have to give him a thumbs up, bro. But,
yeah,
you know, I think, man, Darby Allin is very underrated to be such a small cat. He's bad, dude.
Yeah.
He's bad. These two together, they had a good match.
But
they had a really good
match. Somebody like Darby Allin, who takes the bumps that he does, I mean, how long can somebody like that last?
Well, you already know he can't last too much longer doing that.
Yeah, he's gonna probably got about 2 more years, and then he's gonna be Darby Allin, the shoot fighter, where he just does hold the hold. It catches. I'm telling you, I am here to tell you that sooner or later, it'll catch up to you, and you're gonna be just dying like I am with knots and stuff in the back of your knee. And I don't even do, and never did half the stuff that dude does. It's pretty cool to see what he does, and he does, you know, he does take some mean bumps and does make it look good, but it's just, you know, who knows how long that could last. I think, I don't know, I mean, besides Darby Allin, who do you think would have been somebody who would have really made that crowd pop and gave him a good match besides Darby Allin? Anybody off the top of your
Bryan
head?
Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, but they couldn't bring him out yet. I mean, they got to promote him.
Why?
Or whatever.
Why? No,
I mean,
they didn't. No, they didn't.
I think they said that they had just. Oh, no. You know what? It was the other guy, Adam Cole, that they had just inked him like hours before he went out there. So he was out. But maybe they could have brought Bryan. Oh, man, I think the people would have went nuts.
Oh, that would have been the match of the night.
Oh, dude, he's coming back, but they don't know who he's going against, and then they hit Bryan Danielson's music or whatever or something
mm-hmm.
similar to what he had in WWE. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Point taken, Mike. Good. I think you're right. That would have really popped that crowd. Who cares if it's babyface against babyface? The people just would have wanted to see it. So
exactly.
That was pretty cool. Hey, but where does CM Punk go from here? Maybe Bryan Danielson or what? Maybe Rusev? Who knows?
Well, like you said, man, he has a list of youngsters he wants to go at, you know, because almost everybody else he's already been in the ring with, pretty much.
Yeah.
But there's a list of young lions over there
yeah.
that he wants to get in the ring with and you know, see what he got left.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about that next week, see who they're going to match him up with and see where it's going to take him or whatever. But, you know, somebody made a good point. I mean, it was – I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Jimmy from Jimmy's World Order or whatever that owns the shop out there. I can't remember who we were talking to. But he kind of made a good point. He said, man, to me, it's too much. He goes, they're just bringing out star after star after star. He goes – they brought out Andrade, boom. Then they brought out somebody else. Then CM Punk, then Bryan Danielson, then Adam Cole. It was just like one right after. And then he goes, we haven't even got a chance to see these guys shine before somebody else is coming in. And I thought about that. You're right. I mean, Andrade's only had one match, you know, and they were building him up, and what's-his-name couldn't be there. But, damn, he's going to get, you know, buried because now you got Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, CM Punk. It's like it kind of made for a good point. I mean, I don't think you could spread these guys out too much or whatever, but you kind of get his point there. It's kind of like we haven't even got a chance to see this guy shine before these other guys are coming in. You kind of get it?
Yeah, but now think about what they're able to do with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the relationships that they have with these other organizations. Think about Adam Cole and a Bryan Danielson going over to Impact and
yeah.
boosting that roster up and boosting up those ratings. And then right. so that they can start having good pay-per-views, you know,
right.
having doing. Andrade versus Pac. I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that I want to see that match.
And
but, you know,
I read somewhere that Bryan Danielson said one of the main reasons, because he said he didn't really have too much of a problem with WWE, but one of the main reasons he came to AEW is because they have a working relationship with other promotions. And he said especially New Japan, you know, he wants to go and wrestle and do what he wants to do wrestle-wise. So that's a good outlet for him because just like that, dude, I mean, just like they brought Minoru Suzuki to go against Jon Moxley, that's huge. You know, so that's probably why he's probably thinking, man, maybe when what's-his-name does get better, it'll be him and I, you know, Kota Ibushi or whatever. I mean, dude, I would pay to go see Bryan Danielson and Kota Ibushi, right?
I'd go pay to see, you know, what's the IWGP right now?
Yeah.
What is his name?
Mike, are you losing juice on your headphones?
No, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can.
Because I can hear you clearly.
You were fading in and out for a second.
What is it that the IWGP Heavyweight Champ took?
Shingo?
Takagi? Shingo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Shingo.
Takagi
versus. Shingo versus Andrade.
Yeah.
Shingo versus, I mean, you have, you're now about to have a plethora of guys, like I said, to go to these other places that's going to start drawing money for everybody.
Just like when I saw Moxley against Kojima, I thought that was pretty cool. And then when it was all over and they hit Minoru Suzuki's music, dude, I popped big time. I mean, I was like, oh, hell no. That's my dream match right there. And then they kind of went at it a little bit and they kind of left it, which I thought was pretty cool. So that kind of left it open. I think that'll be, you know, I got to tell you, man, John Moxley really opened my eyes because I thought, this dude, man, when he left WWE, I said, man, this guy ain't got no skills. But when he went to New Japan and changed, you know, he got in shape and just came out with the shorts and the wrestling shoes, he did really well. And I was like, man, this guy surprised me. I didn't think he was going to make it in New Japan. And he did. He made a believer out of me. He's kind of faded back into that silliness or whatever, where he's just coming out in pants and, you know, kind of like a tough guy or whatever. But, you know, when he first went to New Japan, he really, really surprised me and did really well. So I think if he can kind of maybe reel it in a little bit more and get back to that, I think that's a good feud right there. Maybe they might start bringing some more people from New Japan to go against him. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, dude, I think that from scale of 1 to 10, I'd give him about a 8 on the transformation from WWE to now, and how much more I am excited about watching him, because I didn't know he could go until that, when he had that U.S. title match over in Japan where he went some like 25,
right.
30 minutes. And I'm
right.
Like, dude, I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't know
you had that in you.
he surprised. Well, you know, it's like I said, it's pretty much everybody. When you go to Japan, dude, you know you're going to work. You know, it's a whole different ballgame out there. So if you're not ready, that, you know, you're going to get buried. And so he did it right. He got himself in shape. He went out there, he upped his game and adapted and he did it right. You know what I mean? Which surprised me. So to John Moxley, props to you, bro, for taking advantage of whatever. If he can get back to that thing, you know, him and Kenny Omega's match, death match, was the first one I seen where they were actually cracking each other with the barbed wire bats and, you know, really taking those shots, man. So, you know, those guys kind of, epitomize of what it's like. So props to him for doing that. Now, real quick, before we have to, go ahead.
Wait, what do you think about an Andrade Will Ospreay match?
Oh, they're both. Well, when Andrade was La Sombra back in the day, he went out there for a couple of the tournaments, and he had a match against Carl Anderson that was really good. I mean, you know, that was two good workers who really, really brought it out. So if he goes out there and takes on what's his name? Will Ospreay?
Will Ospreay.
Yeah,
when he comes back,
that.
he got COVID right now, so
blow the roof off the place easily, man. That'll be two guys that'll go at it. So hopefully that can happen.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna put this out there. You know, you can do a little PSA, but I'm gonna call it. The next three guys, one of the next three guys to go to AEW, and I think would be a great fit, is going to be Ricochet.
Oh, you think so? Man, that's, you know, I now that you say that, that's another dude that just got buried out there. I mean, dude, the matches, yeah, the stuff that he's had and all that's, you know, I think a lot of these guys are in WWE going, hey, man, this money's great and everything, but I really would like to go out there and show my stuff before I can't do it anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that would be huge. It, especially with, I can't remember their names, but one of them's hurt right now, but those two really young guys that are out there, he one of them, the light-skinned young brother, I don't know his name, I'm sorry. I think he's only 19 years old or whatever. They put him with some other guys, and they went against, I can't remember who, but man, they put him with, God dang it, I can't remember their names. But anyways, he did a lot of good stuff. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to try to look it up during the break and see if I can remember his name. But if they teamed that kid with Ricochet, man, they would blow the roof off that. Man, it's just possibilities are endless. But real quick, Mike, before we take the break and talk about the main event, I don't really particularly care for MJF, only for the fact that he's still, you know, I can't stand guys at heels that say F you and you suck and sit down fat boy and stuff like that. It's just dumb. It's just old, dude. You got to, you know, bring it out a different way, you know, kind of make the people not like you and want to see you get killed. But, you know, I just don't, I'm not into that. Sorry. Or whatever. But I did want him to go over. I did, because I think Chris Jericho is far and away one of the best guys on the mic. You put him and Taz together like they've been doing, I think, on Fridays or whatever, but just them two, and I think they would blow the roof off that place, because the stuff he says is just super witty, and he comes up with them really quick, you know. So you have Taz that would be calling it and kind of saying, yeah, you know, the Suplex City, blah, 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 whatever, Red Hook, Brooklyn, and then, you know, Jericho putting in his two cents or whatever. I think that would be cool. I like when Chris Jericho's on commentary. So what do you think, Mike? I mean, he's done it all. There's nothing else left for that dude. So I think it would have been better for him to kind of go over, I mean, let MJF go over and head to the commentary booth. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I mean, let's be honest. If you were in his shoes and you saw all this talent coming, you wouldn't want to dance with him before you got out?
Hell yeah.
Okay, then, so there you go. Yeah. You answered your own question.
Wouldn't even be a question. I would want to at least try myself against a couple of people before I couldn't do it anymore, but I'm just being selfish. I think him and Taz are great on the mic. You know, either one of them. Put them with whoever, but I think they're great, you know. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But, hey, man, maybe, you know, he'll wrestle a couple of these people and then head to the booth, and, you know, we'll just be one big happy family. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you can have – there's enough mic space for Tony Schiavone, Jim Ross, Taz, and Jericho, unless you're going to put them up in, you know, like they have a SmackDown group and a Raw group.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to do it that way.
Yeah.
And then put them over there on Rampage, which would be cool if they did it on Friday nights.
Yeah, I would agree.
If they allowed those two to do Rampage, because Rampage is like the newer show.
Yeah.
So you get a fresh commentary.
Yeah, team. Just put one over there and put Taz on the other one or whatever, just so that we get a little bit of both of them, because I think they're both pretty good. But I got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the main event, and we'll go for the hang on, Mike. We'll be right back after this.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo.
Looking forward to that Lucha Expo, man, coming up when I put, you know, that we were coming on today or whatever. I put some of the pictures up from the first Lucha Expo. And it was, you know, I was back on the mat back then, and I got some good interviews with Killer Cross before he became Killian Cross or whatever. I got Santana and Ortiz on there. I got Johnny Morrison on there before him and Taya were there. I couldn't get Taya. She walked off. I forget what she was doing, but I did get Johnny Morrison for a little while. And I got the kid that comes out in the green with the green gear over at Impact. What's his name? Eddie Edwards. I got Eddie Edwards on for a while. So that was some good stuff, man. I'm gonna try and look it up and see if I could put it on my social media so you could check it out. It was pretty cool, man. Everybody was cool. Killer Cross was still kind of like that, you know, for lack of a better term, still into kayfabe or whatever, and was kind of giving me a little bit of the evil eye. And then once we got to talking, he kind of eased up a little bit and was pretty cool. So I got him. I got Brody King over there too. So I got to put those up, man, because I got a lot. And I got Chris Bay, and I got Jake Alexander, and I got a lot of people. So I'm going to try to put that up on my social media so you can check it out, because it was really cool, man. That was the first big Lucha Expo, you know, kind of like introduction type of, you know, first one or whatever. So I got a lot of really good people. The second one I can't remember because I was upstairs, so I had to go down and actually get people to bring them up. So I'll try to lift those up too. So we'll get those up, though, because it was pretty cool. I thought Santana Ortiz were pretty cool, and we talked a little bit afterwards, and I was saying, hey, man, you know, I think you guys got something here. And they were real humble. Hey, man, you know, we're just trying to make it, and we want to do this, and we're trying to get as much knowledge from Conan as we can, and learning to do this was really cool. So I'll try to get those up. So props to Kevin Kleinrock and Ruben Zamora for working hard. Mike, you've put shows on, and you know what it's like. So you can imagine not only doing a wrestling show, but doing a Lucha Expo and having all the guys with their booths. And then, you know, it was two nights in a row and bringing people in. And yeah, I mean, that one I actually stayed up late because I wanted to see what all the hype was about with Rey Fénix and Pentagón Cero Miedo, right? So I stayed up late, and it totally delivered. How they got these guys, I'll never know. I mean, they got some pull because they reunited the Mexicools. So it's Juventud, Super Crazy, and Psicosis against Rey Mysterio Jr. and the Lucha Brothers. And I'm like, oh, you know, I want to see if these guys can do it. And, man, I was like, I pulled the Michael Parks. I stood up and started clapping right there. I was like, yep, and putting my hands out like, there it is. They totally did, yep. Or whatever. And let me tell you something, man, that show, Psicosis, I think either he was just over his knee surgery or whatever, and they didn't miss a step, man. I mean, I think they said, look, man, we're going against these young Lucha Brothers. We're going to show them what's up. Super Crazy did not lose one step. Moonsault on your ass and everything. I mean, he and Hoobie too, man. He was, yeah, I was surprised. I was like, wow, these guys, you know, they really got down, man. And they gave Rey Mysterio a little bit of a beating, and then he came back, and it was pretty cool. It was really cool. And then we got to see a lot of, Mike and I talk a lot about different, you know, seeing different matchups and going, oh, I would like to check that out. So like Solar and Solar Jr. against Damien and Bestia. I mean, that was really cool. And I saw like Papi La Máscara teamed with Jake Alexander, and you know what, it was Eddie Edwards fought too, and he lost his shoe, and he had to wrestle with one shoe, and then he said F it, and he threw the other shoe off and wrestled in socks. And I mean, it was crazy. And if I can remember, I have to ask Kevin and Ruben. I remember Santana and Ortiz wrestled, I if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Ricky Banderas and somebody else. I can't remember for sure. But Ricky Banderas, who was Mil Muertes in Lucha Underground, man, that dude can go. I mean, that, I don't know if people just go, hey, this is Lucha X, we're going to show some stuff. He really, really looked good in shape, could move, you know, and all that. I mean, I can honestly say I've been doing this for a long time. That first Lucha Expo, it kicked ass, dude. I was like, just so happy to be there. I wanted to go up to Kevin and Ruben and go, hey, man, you know, you guys got something here, dude. But nowhere to be found. They were everywhere, dude, just back and forth and upstairs and downstairs and backstage. And, I mean, I didn't see him. I talked to Kevin like one time. Ruben I didn't even see. Kevin I got to talk to like one time, and that was it. So, you know, it's just going to continue on. I know the next one they're working on going to Philly, and they just procured all those passports and stuff. So it is – I mean – I am here to tell you, as somebody who's been in the business for almost 25 years, that is well worth the money, the time, the effort, whatever it takes to get you there, because I don't impress easily, and it takes a lot for me to say stuff like that, but I was thoroughly impressed and thoroughly thought it was probably one of the best times I've ever had in my life, not just, you know, wrestling or whatever, but in my life. It was just awesome, dude, so props to them. But anyways, you know, I could go on and on and tell you what happened. So I'll try to put those up, Mike, so you can check them out too, so you can see some of the interviews I got that was really cool. And luckily I had Cody Rhodes as my producer back then, not the Cody Rhodes, but Cody Rhodes, the producer from who's in Arizona now. So he was able to upload all the stuff that I got and put them out on there for me. So it was pretty cool. So I'll have to put those up for you. So anyways, talk a little bit about that and Lucha Expo. And then the last one, Christian against Kenny Omega. For what it was pretty cool. From what I gather, they really didn't have anybody else that they could build up for Kenny Omega, so they kind of built up Christian to get that match or whatever. I kind of thought it was pretty cool that he went over for the TNA belt or Impact belt or whatever, but did anybody in this world think that there was any distinct possibility that he was going to go over on Kenny Omega?
I wish. I'm kind of getting tired of Kenny Omega being the champion. It's starting to wear on. It's like, come on, dude. There's others.
We see
there's
you.
There's
others.
Yeah, man.
I gotta agree with you, man. It's time to get some new blood in there. Get some people going. But now with the moves that they made, you know, it's gonna be a strong race, especially Bryan Danielson coming in. You know, CM Punk, I don't know, but Bryan Danielson, that's a big acquisition, man, and that's gonna be a big draw. So if they put him against Kenny Omega, that's gonna sell out, man. I mean, that's gonna be another sellout for them. People are gonna want to see that. And if Daniel Bryan does go over, that's gonna send everybody home happy and blow the roof off that place. So I think that's a good thing. Adam
yeah,
Cole,
but you, yeah.
Go ahead.
But you know what sucks is now where's Hangman Page gonna be?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you're pushing him, and now all of a sudden you bring in these Clydesdales, and it's like,
yeah,
where's this Bronco going to go, man?
Maybe he'll come out of nowhere and just start killing people.
I mean, he's going to have to do something, or turn heel and go over to Impact and beat up on Christian and take that title and run it over there.
Well, at least there's
because
options.
Because there's no room.
Yeah, there's options for him. Yeah, so they got to do something.
There's no room. Yeah,
that's a good thing and a bad thing, because you got all this talent, but now you got to say, well, hey man, we got to put this guy with this guy. Well, maybe this guy we got to send to Impact or whatever. So they're gonna be. I don't know if Tony Khan has just completely taken over, or if he listens to these guys or whatever. But if you get Cody Rhodes and you get the Young Bucks and them involved and say, look, man, if we do this, we think it. And especially even you got Christopher Daniels back there. That guy knows what's up, man. If they can get together, they can do it right. And they can really, really start skyrocketing, you know, to where they want to get. So, Adam
hey,
Cole.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Hold on. It just crossed my mind.
Go
dude,
for
what
it.
Happened to Roosh? What happened to Roosh? Why is he in the hospital?
I think, from what I this is rumors, because you never know, but I guess he messed up his knee, and from what I heard, he might have got infected or something, so they had to go check it out, and they don't know for sure. You know, that's what I've heard. I've also heard he's got COVID, you know, a bunch of different stuff, but who knows exactly. I know his knee was hurt for a while, and maybe he tore an ACL or something like that, but they said something happened in him, and it might have got infected, and then some people say he has COVID or whatever, but who knows? Who knows? Well, maybe Kevin Kleinrock knows. We'll have to call him and see if maybe he got the scoop on what's happening with the Roosh. But that's what, you know how rumors go, man.
Well, I mean, I saw a picture of him in the hospital, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, so, is he all right? So,
who,
I'm sorry.
Who knows?
That just, yeah.
We'll try to find out, because that's coming up too. The ROH paper with Bandido against, I think Bandido's going to take on Brody King. For that. So that's huge too. So might have to check that out. But before we get out of here, you know, I liked Adam Cole, but I kind of liked him in NXT, because that seemed like the perfect place for him. He was over like Rover. I mean, that whole be Adam Cole, baby. And it was just over. So now he's over here. It kind of seems like a small fish in a big pond. I don't know. Give me your thoughts on that, dude. I think it's a bit much. I think he was better off. One of the few people who I think was better off in NXT. What do you think?
Yes. just flat out, yes. Right now, people can disagree with me, but I think he's hotter than the Bucks and Kenny Omega.
Uh-huh.
Adam Cole is at the top of his game right now, man, and he is – he's on fire, and I wish he would have stayed in NXT. I wish they would have put the belt back on him because he carried it. He carried that belt like it was his, and you got to take it from me because I'm Adam Cole.
Right.
And he made people want to watch NXT, and it was,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But now, well, you know, what are you going to do, put him up against Bryan Danielson?
I you know, Mike, I'm sorry, man. I don't see it. I don't. You know, when he's walking up the steps to get in the ring, he doesn't look like a wrestler. I mean, he just looks like a normal dude. I'm sorry, man. I might be old school or whatever, but he just, I just don't see it, man. I don't. I think he should have stayed in NXT. He just does not. You see a dude like Brian Cage, and you go, that dude looks like a wrestler. Or even that big Brian Hobbs, or what's his name, Big Hobbs, or whatever. You look at those dudes, you go, that dude looks like a wrestler. Or
okay,
even Rusev
okay,
or Miro.
Swole.
Go ahead.
Okay, because they're swole. Because they're what we call on hub. They're on hub.
Yeah.
But Adam Cole reminds me of a young HBK.
Yeah, but even
now,
dude,
if he ever got into that shape,
that's what I was
going to
say.
You wouldn't have one.
Shawn Michaels got on
the best shape of his life.
He got on the sauce, and he was in shape, man. So maybe, you know, that's, I don't know, maybe that's the key or whatever. I just, you know, I don't see it. I don't, you know, I'm unless you're in a suit or in a mascara or something like that. It just, he's got talent. Oh, but far and away, he's got talent. But I just, as a wrestler, when he's walking up the ramp or whatever, I'm like, wow, you know, that looks like a kid that just came from the smoke shop. You know what I'm saying? Hang on one second. Okay. Sorry about that. But I mean, am I wrong, dude? Or?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Well, see, that's why I wish some people were called in so I could get a different opinion. Because I don't get me wrong, I like him, but I just don't see it, dude. I just don't. You know, even Taz, he was a short dude, but he was in shape, bro. You know, you look at him and go, man, that guy's working out. And you know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Darby Allin looks like the kid coming out of the smoke shop.
Oh, that.
That's.
I can kind of agree with Vince on that. I mean, you know, hey, if you're at the top of your game and you're in a company that's paying you a lot of money, you should be in shape and you should be out there to where people go, wow, you know, I'm sorry, man, but that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I mean, there's certain people that you know, this will be the first time, and I'll tell you this, and he told me straight out, I got this, man. Don't worry about it. Scorpio Sky, when he was just a pup, he used to come over to my house with BJ Darden, and he was doing really well. And I'm like, dude, you're skinny, man. I said, you might want to get on the sauce, man, and get some size. Or even if not that, you know, start working out, get the protein powder going, creatine, whatever, because you're going to want them to notice you or whatever. And he was like, totally. Oh, no, I got this, bro. I'm telling you, I got this or whatever. And I'm like, all right, cool. And, you know, look at him now. You know, he's in shape. I don't think he's on the sauce, but he is in shape and he looks like something. But he totally didn't take my advice. He's like, yeah, whatever. And he kept going or whatever. But that's what I told him. I mean, I'm just being honest. I've seen some of the guys who got their foot in the door, and you and I have talked about this because I don't want to name any names. And I'm like, dude, you got, even if you don't get on the sauce, dude, start working out. You got your foot in the door. You know, whatever it takes, do protein powder, creatine, whatever. And if not, you know, just put, you know, wear a nice suit. If you don't want to wear a suit, a nice button down, clean, iron, haircut, beard trim, so that they know you're serious. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
that's all I'm saying. When I see him, I'm like, that dude don't look like a wrestler. He is good. You know, he's got talent. But I'm just saying, when you see him, I didn't see it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But now I'm going to ask you something, and then I want you to really think about it.
Okay.
Name me someone that's big and swole in New Japan.
Not big and swole, but in shape. That like Sho and Yo, those guys are in shape. Sanada, he's not huge, but he's in shape, bro. And you look at him, you go, wow, man, especially in Japan.
Okay.
He looks like some. And even what's his name? The guy from Guam. What the hell is his name? The guy from Guam that's tossing everybody. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
Jeff Cobb.
No.
Jeff Cobb.
Oh.
He's not super buff,
no.
But he's a big dude.
No, Jeff Cobb is thick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he's got some size, but
he's got game.
You've named about five guys out of that
right.
whole roster. You named about five.
Right, right.
I'll even throw Ospreay in there because he's gotten heavier, he's gotten thicker.
Yeah.
But other than that, everybody looks normal. Even
yeah.
Okada looks normal.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like when
yeah.
you say Adam Cole doesn't look like a wrestler.
Right.
Let's look at New Japan.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of bulky guys over there wrestling for them.
Yeah.
They don't.
Right.
And they're successful. But
well, you know what? I'll send Dewdrop over there. To AEW, then watch what happens. Okay, you want some big people? Just send her over there, see what happens. You know what I'm saying? Send Marta Villalobos and Dewdrop as a tag team and watch what happens. You know what I'm saying? But I have no room to talk. I'm fat, but I work out constantly, dude. Because for the whole purpose of if I'm wrestling somebody, I don't want them to get hurt. I want to be able to catch them, and you know. Toss them or whatever. I've always been like that or whatever. So that's all I'm saying. It just, you know, and really Adam Cole doesn't have to impress anybody. He's already there. You know what I mean? So I'm just talking about people who, like John Moxley, who did it right, got in shape, upped his game, you know, got himself to the next level. You know, I think, or you see even, what's his name, dude that's got the belt, Roman Reigns. You know, you see that dude, man. And people talk a lot of smack about John Cena, but that dude's never been out of shape. And he's always, you know,
no.
He looks, and when they see him, they go, oh, there's John Cena. You know what I mean? It does make a difference to the person itself. If that's what you want to be and or whatever, look at The Rock, dude. Come on, man. Dude's in shape, man. And people are just like, wow, that's The Rock. It just, of course, he's on another level. But you kind of see what I'm talking about. If you want to get to that next level and be there, that's what's going to get you there. You know what I mean? I mean, talent can only take you so far, right?
Yeah, I'm not disputing that, mm-hmm. you know, somebody getting a ring and they're 195 and their arms are the same size as their calves and they're in there, I guess the guy that's 260 pounds and, you know, you're going to believe he could snatch him up off his
yeah.
feet?
You know, real quick before we get out of here because I'm running up against the clock, do you? I'll leave you with this question. You tell me what you think. Because I think it would be cool. You think if Marco Stunt teamed with Demus and went against Mascarita Sagrada and Octagoncito that he would be able to hang? Because it seems like Marco Stunt can go. I just think going against those guys would be a big test for that guy. What do you think?
That would be a fun match.
Yeah.
That would be a fun match. I would even go as far as have Demus and him wrestle against each other.
Yeah, yeah. You know who can go to is the little pirot, the mini pirot. He's got game.
Uh-huh.
And if you could bring some of those guys and put them against Marco Stunt with them, I think it do. People would just go, well, you do. You were there at Leonardo's, man, when they wrestled. I mean, I would say that was the best match, would you?
Yeah, I was going to say the best match of the night. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they got down. So, You know, if Marco Stunt wants to, he might say, hey, man, I don't want to do that because I think it's making fun of us or whatever. But let me tell you something. You come down and wrestle Demus and Mascarita and them, you're going to have to work, bro. And then you hang in that little circle right there, then you'll get my respect because those guys can go. You know, and it looks to me like Marco Stunt can go. I think if he, you know, let his guard down a little bit and went ahead and did that, I think it would be pretty cool, man. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Well, do me a favor.
I definitely would.
Yeah, do me a favor. Dude, can you call some of your connections and see if we can work that out? Maybe we'll use Marco Stunt for one show and bring him to wrestle against those guys. Call him up, dude. Call up your people. Tell them we want to use them. Give him, you know, for the people listening, don't let Michael Parks fool you, man. He might be, you know, kind of, this and that or whatever, but he's got the connections, okay? This is the man who threw the biggest show at the Zacatecano in Compton, so don't let him fool you. He's got the connections or whatever. This is also the same guy who drove us to, with his cousin, on fumes to all the way out to go set up bringing Conan or whatever. So, don't let him fool you. Anyways, Mike, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. For the people listening, I'm sorry Leah Letson couldn't come on. She's got a big fight coming up. It's a shame because not only is she a UFC fighter, she's engaged. She's in the Air Force. You know, she's got so much going on. It's amazing that she's even going to be able to concentrate for her fight. And her fight's in November, so she's getting ready to start fight camp. So I wanted to get her before she started her fight camp. I wanted to get her on too, Mike, because she's from, I believe, Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I can't remember for sure. But she said where she lived, she had to padlock her barbecue to the tree because they kept stealing it. And she had to bring her bikes inside because they kept trying to steal her bikes. It was all kinds of stuff that was going on before. She goes, yeah, you people see this part of Wisconsin, but I lived over here and this is what's going on. Because she was on The Ultimate Fighter and they were showing stuff, but you know, she has since you know, went into the Air Force and really changed around a lot, man. So now she's ready to make her comeback and fight in the UFC. And you know, she's got a lot of heart, man. You know, these women don't get as much credit as they deserve. So hopefully we can get her back on maybe the Tuesday after next, but hopefully before she goes to fight camp, because then she won't be able to, and then we can let her talk about that and go from there. All right, my friend.
Right on. And we need to discuss this card coming up at Leonardo's, Samoa versus Mexico. Did you see that?
Which one is it?
It's Samoa versus Mexico.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That's going to be crazy. And the guys from Knox Pro have been doing a few shows over there at Leonardo's, so it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I saw an advertisement on it, and I think the Tonga Kid's supposed to be over there.
Yeah. He again, at the second Lucha Expo out there in San Diego, I got a chance to talk to him, and it was funny because I told you we were doing that show out there in Visalia, and him and Samu were working as the head shrinkers, and he brought his son, and they were doing massages and stuff, and they would take care of you, put some Tiger Balm in if you wanted or whatever. And his son wanted a massage, and he didn't want to take his shirt off. And he's like, take your shirt off, man. Show him what you got, whatever. And he goes, that was Jacob. That was Jacob. And I'm like, dude, that was Jacob back then. So then I turn and look, and he's at the booth with War Beast, and he's a grown man with braids. And I'm like, oh, my God, that was him. So that dude was hilarious, man, because I did a few shows with him. Melissa, cheerleader Melissa's dad, when I worked for him, he would bring those guys. And this dude really took care of us, man. Always put us up in a hotel. It was me, Frankie Kazarian, Chris Daniels, Samoa Joe, Greg, I mean, John Cena was working as the prototype and all that. He would take us all and take really good care of us. But that dude, Tonga Kid, was just a character, dude. He had me rolling, had so much fun traveling with that dude. So I'm glad he's coming back or whatever. So we'll tell some more stories about him later. But anyways, Mike, yeah, we'll check it out, man. We'll see if we could get some more information on that and see what's happening with that. So real quick, before we get out of here, any news on PWA? What's happening? We're still working on trying to get that stuff together because unfortunately we had to postpone the
other show. Yeah, man, I'm looking into getting venues now, dude. I'm starting to make my way out to Orange County because it seems like they're the only spot that's that's allowing things to be going on, which is it's frustrating. And when we talk about when we say that people don't know what goes on behind the scenes, so you really don't.
You really don't.
No.
It takes a lot.
Yeah, especially being a new organization and people that, you know, you don't know these venues, and it's like
And stuff like that that the people don't realize. It took a lot to get all three of Superboy's kids, you know, because they're all over the place. And we had them.
Yeah,
we had
man.
Them set. Everything was set and good to go, and then they just threw a monkey wrench right in the spokes, which couldn't be avoided because it was an indoor venue. They're L.A. County or whatever, so they're super tough on them or whatever. So, but, you know, we're steadily making a concerted effort to make sure that, you know, we get everything going and go from there. So we'll keep everybody updated for sure. We'll let everybody know what's happening. And then not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, hopefully we'll have some more information, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. All right, Mike. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. For the people listening, make sure you check us out every other Tuesday from 7 to 8:30. Hopefully we can get Leah Letson back on here, talk some USC. And, of course, we'll keep everybody up to date on what's happening in the lucha and pro wrestling world. All right, Mike, I'll see you soon. All right, my man?
All right, man. Have a good one.
Right on.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo.